Chapter 95. The Human Stain. I raised my starting pistol a fraction. "But we have not talked about you yet," I pointed out, for I knew no man could resist that topic. And seeing him tip his head in semi-assent, I continued, "You do not do it for gratification. You could get that in many places for the price of a drink. You do it because you hate women."
"Why, Miss Middleton, you should be an alienist."
The bootmaker's smile was forced this time, I thought, but he took his hand off the gun. "You are beyond medical help," I told him, and the smile congealed.
"Do not talk to me about doctors."
His fingers blanched on the knife handle. "There is one that we really ought to mention." I waved the gun in an attempt to relieve the cramp in my arm. "You see, we know that you murdered Mr. Lamb."
"Oh, yeah? The surgeon?"
Pound's question went unanswered. He had edged another couple of inches. "And we know why." I looked the bootmaker in the eyes and saw them smolder, his lips still fixed mirthlessly. "For the same reason," I said carefully, "that Lady Brockwood did not disable you with her knee. There was nothing for her to damage." The smile shriveled into scorn.
"It took you a long time to work that out."
"But those women never did you any harm," I burst out.
"You think not?"
The embers burst into flame. "Have you any idea what it is to be despised for an injury that wasn't your fault?"
"Shall I answer that one?"
Freddy asked quietly, and the flames dipped briefly.
"I take your point," the bootmaker conceded. "But it is different for men."
"Really?" she demanded. "The only man I ever kissed screamed." The bootmaker wiped his nose on the inner bend of his elbow.
"It is being laughed at that I cannot bear."
He leaned towards her confidentially.
"The first woman I went with was a widow. She knew what to expect and she mocked me. I ran away that time, but never again."
His mouth worked like a man building up spit. "The girls I go with now have no idea what to expect, and half of them do not even understand what has happened. But there's one thing for sure. They never laugh." He chewed at nothing.
"You complain about screaming, but I like that part best. And once I get going, by Beelzebub, you should hear them squeal."
"But you are punishing innocent girls for what the medical profession did to you,"
I tried to reason with him.
"One incompetent surgeon did for me," the bootmaker said matter-of-factly, "and I dealt with him. But there's not a woman of the world who would not despise me if she knew, and so I take them before they have the chance."
His tone became conversational.
"When I was whole, I was engaged to an heiress."
He rested his elbow on Lucy's left shoulder.
"Very rich and not bad-looking. But I had a rupture lifting a crate that fell off a wagon onto my foot. I was worried I wouldn't be able to consummate the marriage with that, and it could be annulled. So I went to see Lamb. He said he could put me right. And then I caught cancer. Or so he said. He was just supposed to clean me up."
He looked at my guardian bitterly. "But when I came round from the ether, he said it was more advanced than he thought. And he'd had to be more radical to save my life. I didn't know what he meant until they changed the dressing."
Sidney Grice jerked upright like a sentry caught almost asleep on duty. "And that is why you were so angry with Miss Bocking," he surmised, "and called her, to quote, a dirty, dirty girl."
"I assumed she was a virgin," the bootmaker agreed. "But when I found out she wasn't, I realized that she would know what was wrong with me."
"I did not notice," Lucy reassured him. "I was in a drugged stupor and did not really believe it was happening."
"Did not?" The bootmaker was incredulous. "Then I have hung around the square all these weeks, shouting rubbish and trying to sew leather for nothing."
"But what," I asked, though I feared I knew the answer, "were you waiting for?"
"Take a guess," he challenged.
"You thought about it later and were worried that she would be able to tell the police about you,
and they could check all hospital records, I surmised. But how did you know where Lucy lived?
I knew she and her friend were well-to-do by their accents and attire. So I toured all the good roads and squares until I saw a woman with a bruised face and another in a green veil coming out of this house.
He looked at the calluses on the fingers of his left hand.
There's not too many of them. I thought I would catch her alone to make it easier. But in the end I decided it would be safer to do it in the privacy of her own home. So why did you turn from rape to murder?
Pound inquired, as casually as one might ask for directions in the park.
It's a very different crime.
Not very, I argued. Both of them are about crushing women.
What God did not give you in looks, he compensated for in brains.
The bootmaker had a greater facility for backhanded compliments than my guardian, I mused.
But it was you who put me on the road to killing.
He flapped his hands innocently.
Those two bitches in Limehouse, that was self-defense. And this?
Pound asked calmly. The same, the bootmaker reasoned.
You and your two friends and this filthy vixen.
He tore at Lucy's hair and she choked back a cry.
You're all a threat to me. And now this mash-faced one, too. You're all witnesses. Besides, he smirked, I rather enjoy it.
He scratched the side of his nose and remembered something.
So what was that you were saying about me being selected to do this, cow?
And as he spoke, the bootmaker cut a line down Lucy's cheek, reminiscent of Prince Ulrich's dueling scar. And she groaned but gritted her teeth. Sidney Grice curled his fingers and examined the plates.
I thought I had explained that already, he said testily. Wallace pretended to be drunk, so that you would take his place. If you were wondering why he chose you, particularly from all the flotsam he could sift through, I would remind you that he was very nearly imprisoned for his role in the attack upon the person of Miss Hockaday, at your behest. But he couldn't have known who I was, the bootmaker objected. I kept my face well covered, told him I had a toothache. Jonathan Richard the Walrus Wallace liked to know who he was dealing with.
My guardian rotated his hand to peer at his knuckles.
He had a trick which he adapted from an annoying practice of mine. The first time you met, when he contracted to help you entrap Miss Hockaday, Johnny slipped Lawsonia Inimis, better known to the hoi polloi as henna, into your drink. It was a simple thing thereafter to offer the local guttersnipes a meagre reward for spotting a man with orange-stained lips.
It had turned brown by the time we first saw you, I recalled.
Sneaky crup!
The bootmaker pulled his mouth down in grudging respect.
I wondered where I had got that. Thought it might be something I caught off a girl. The ladies might like to hum loudly whilst I make my next revelation.
Sidney Grice harrumphed, but none of us took up his suggestion.
Not only can this detestable degenerate not spill seed, he cannot spill anything.
The bootmaker turned puce.
What the hell are you talking about? I took a swab from Lady Dulcet Brockwood, and there was blood aplenty, and nothing but blood. What? You?
The bootmaker actually looked queasy.
And they think I am disgusting. Oh, you are,
Mr. G assured him.
I dredge the drains. It is vermin like you that fill them.
The bootmaker's fist blanched on the handle of his knife. What about Prince Ulrich? I asked, desperate for any delay that would give us a chance to do something, though I had no idea what it could be. Why did you try to implicate him?
The bootmaker spat on the floor. That high and mighty foreigner strutting the streets like he owned them, so rich and handsome and titled. I bet he had no problem getting girls. But he wasn't happy with all that.
He wiped his mouth on his sleeve.
He had to set himself up as guardian crudding angel, stalking the East End and escorting girls home. He lost me a good few chances, and he nearly had me cornered with that Hockaday bitch, and I bet you anything you like he did for Wallace. I thought about getting rid of him myself, but I was in enough trouble with Hanratty, and killing a member of the royal family is asking for trouble, to put it mildly. So then I thought, why not make him suffer for my sins? I pointed the finger with that button, and the accent.
I put on some good clothes and even sprayed some scent. But you were either too in awe of his rank, or you saw through it.
The latter, Mr. G told him, amongst other factors, if you rip off a button sewn as thoroughly as the prince's was, I would expect to find a few strands of cotton and possibly a piece of torn silk. The threads had been cleanly cut, and the waistcoat was unscathed.
Also, you wore new boots that creaked, I contributed. Prince Ulrich's were oiled and softened.
Didn't do him any good, though, did it? The bootmaker jibed. I read about that in the papers. Seems the mother of that silly girl they fished out of the river had more guts and initiative than the rest of you put together.
But she killed an innocent man. I protested uselessly, I knew, but I was running out of things to hold his attention, and George Pound, ever edging forwards, was still a long way from being able to surprise him.
That's what made it so delicious, the bootmaker smirked. Anyway, I have enjoyed our chinwag.
He wrenched Lucy's head back to bare her throat.
Think I'm stupid? He sniggered at me. That's not a real gun, is it?
The question caught me off balance.
Of course it is.
But he shook his head.
Not from the way you've held it steady all this time. It's too light.
I am stronger than I look, I bluffed frantically, levelling it at his head. Shall I pull the trigger?
Go on, then.
Only if I have to. I can still make you a deal, Lucy stalled in desperation. I have lots more money, and I can help you. I can lure girls here, or wherever you want. Who would ever suspect me? And you would not even have to leave the house.
She writhed about and strained her bonds, but the bootmaker hardly gave her a glance. Shall I go first? He challenged me.
His eyes had a frightening chill in them now.
No!
Freddy and I cried as one.
Lucy screamed.
No, no, I can...
But she was beyond even knowing what she could do now, and tossing her head wildly. The bootmaker smiled quite beautifully.
Farewell, my pretty one, he said softly,
and the tip of the blade pressed just into the side of her neck.